So great to worship as one church in two different locations. Glory be to God for that. And as we're preparing our hearts, let us go before Him. Let's just continue in an attitude of prayer that God would have His way this morning through His Word. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we give You all the glory and all the honor and all the praise that's so rightly due to Your name. Lord, we love You, we bless You, and we praise You. And Lord, our desire as the Word is open this morning is that You would speak directly to our hearts, and Lord, that we would become who You want us to be, that we'd put into practice the things that You show us, and Lord, that You would get all the glory through that. And so now, Lord, we're ready to hear. So speak, Lord, for Your servants are listening. And all God's people who are ready to receive His word and put into practice what He showed agreed by very loudly saying with me, amen. Amen. I want to encourage you, open your Bibles this morning to 1 John, the book of 1 John. It's towards the end of your Bible, and we're going to be in verses 5 through 10 this morning. If you don't have a copy of the scriptures, you can check under the seat here in Inglewood. Every other one has a Bible. If you're in Broomfield, I've been told that the ushers want to give you a Bible. So if you don't have one, just extend your hand in the air, and one of the guys will bring a Bible to you. If you don't have a Bible, keep the Bible that you have. We want you to hear God's word and to be able to study God's word for yourself. Now, as we open up this section, remember, we started this series last week, and we talked about how the book of 1 John is very much like a photo album, a portrait of what it looks like to walk with God, what it looks like to be a believer. And as we open this book, we're getting a picture of, as a church, hey, this is what Christians look like. This is what we're like. This is what we're seen like. And in verses 5 through 10, we're going to highlight a little bit more of that this morning. And because there's only 6 verses, I'd love to read them, and then we'll unpack them together. Here's what John says. This is the message we have heard from Him and announced to you, that God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. Now, in this is a very difficult passage to outline because, as we talked about last week, John spirals and comes back and spirals and comes back and spirals and comes back. But the first thing that John does before he tells us anything is he gives us a picture in verse 5 as to what our God is like. And notice what he says. He says, this is the message we have heard from Him and announced to you. In other words, Jesus Christ, as we talked about last week, the God-man, told us exactly who He was. We saw Him with our eyes. We heard Him with our ears. We gazed upon Him. We touched Him. This Jesus told us a message. He directly gave it to us. We're telling you, and here's the message. Ready? God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. That's the message. Right? It means this, before we even get started, first point, God is perfectly holy. God is perfectly holy. There are no flaws with God. God is perfect in every way. There's nothing wrong with Him, right? In Isaiah 42 and verse 8, He says, I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not give my glory to others or share my praise with idols. God thinks of Himself very highly because God Himself is perfect. There's nothing wrong with God. Now, we may have a false view of who God is. We may think God messed up this, or God, if You're so good, then why did this happen? Or God, if this is really who You are, then why does my life seem to be indicating this, or all sorts of things? Make no mistake about it. Here's the message from the get-go. God is perfect. He's holy. He's righteous. He's true. And in Him, get this, you're going to need this for later in the message. In Him, there is no darkness. God does not participate in darkness. Jesus and sin don't mix. God and sin don't mix. As a matter of fact, the message that the Bible starts out with is that God is perfect and He only takes perfect people. The question we should be asking every time we open up God's word, then how could anybody ever have a relationship with God if God is like that? That's a great question to ask, because that's the message John's going to answer for us this morning. God is perfect. You got to get that from the get-go. Because we live in a world where the pendulum has swung so far from John 15 saying, Jesus telling His disciples, I have called you friends, and it's true.
But the pendulum has swung so far to this side in our generation that for most of us, we picture God no more than a best friend or a good buddy or someone that we're in trouble we call upon, or God, I promise if you do this, it's the last time I'll ever do that. We see him as a last resort. We do not see him for who he is. Make no mistake about it. God is perfect. He's righteous. He's holy. He's true. There is no one other than our God. There's no one like our God. There's no one like our God. He's perfect. And in him, don't miss this, there is no darkness. There's not even a hint of darkness. There's not even a little darkness. That's why it was so awesome when Jesus was on the planet. Didn't he use these exact words? I mean, in John chapter 8, I believe, in verse 12, we hear Jesus talk about himself as one of his seven I am statements in the Gospel of John. And here's what he says in John 8 and verse 12. Then Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. I'm the perfect one. I'm the holy one. In me, there's nothing wrong. I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. In other words, Jesus is like, I'm the God man. I'm the God of all light. I'm the perfect one. I'm fully God and fully man, like we spent all last week talking about, and now I'm revealing myself to you, and in me is perfection. You've seen me, you've seen my Father. I and my Father are one. I'm the light of the world. That's what Jesus is saying. And apart from Jesus, we have no deliverance from sin. We have no guidance for life. We have no meaning. We have no hope. We have no nothing. And here's what you need to understand. In God, there is no darkness at all. And that can be a little bit scary for us, can't it? I mean, in Numbers 32, verse 23, here's a promise that Scripture makes. You can be sure that your sin will find you out. Did you know you can't even cover up your darkness? You can't even hide it from God? You can't just say, I love God and there's a little bit of darkness in my life. I love God. There's a little bit of things that I'm at. There's no darkness in him. You need to understand that. He's perfect and he sees it all. I mean, as I was thinking about this verse this week, I was taken to Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 13. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 13. Listen to this verse. This is why the light scares us sometimes. Hebrews 4 verse 13 says, and there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we have to give an account. He sees it all. He sees it all. Now we may say we love that God's perfect, but in light of his perfection, we see that we're not. But here's the truth. He sees it all. And you will give an account for it all. For it's appointed unto man to die once, and after that face judgment. God sees it all. Now how well do human beings do it with God knowing everything? How did our first parents do with God knowing everything? As soon as they had darkness, as soon as they sinned, what did they do? Dove into bushes, right? We're hiding from God. You can't hide from him. You can't hide from him. Many people don't come to church because they feel like, man, if I went to church, my sin would be exposed. Y'all, it's already exposed. God knows it all. You're not keeping any secrets from him. God is light. God is perfect. God is righteous. In him, there is no darkness at all. That's the message. Now, the question John's going to ask us is, then how do we respond? Because there's some negative ways to respond, and there's some positive ways to respond. And I've grouped those for us this morning so we can start with one negative response and then how we're supposed to respond positively. And then on the second page, another negative response and how we're supposed to respond positively. Because with God being light, how do we respond to him? And here's what he says. This is our first negative way. Verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. See, you hear that? I mean, here's the error. The error is that we falsely believe our lifestyle does not affect our relationship with God. We falsely believe that. We falsely believe our lifestyle does not affect our relationship with God. Do you know why we believe that? Because we've been taught that. What we've been taught is that, hey, Pastor Jeff, I don't have to worry about God being holy because God sent his son Jesus. He died for my sins. I believe he died for my sins and rose from the dead. So I can live however I want, and then God's obligated to forgive me. Let me tell you what the truth is, according to God's word. God loved the world so much that he sent his only son, because he himself is all light. He himself is all righteous. He himself is all holy. He himself is all pure. In his son was all righteousness, purity, and all those things. Jesus Christ laid down his life on a cross and shed his blood because there's no one but no one that can get to God. God had to come to us. And Jesus Christ took our sin on the cross. In Jesus, there is no darkness. Isn't it amazing that from noon on, when Jesus was on the cross, what happened to the earth? It went what? It went dark. Why? Because for the first time in human history, God the Father took all the sin of humanity and put it on his son. The one in whom there was no darkness took on all darkness and was slaughtered on a cross in our place as a substitute for all of our sin. And he died and he rose from the dead. And he put to death sin once and for all. The righteous for the unrighteous to bring you to God. And then anyone who would confess him as Lord has a relationship with him that no one can ever take away. That is the good news of the gospel. And John says, hey, I agree with that, but here's what I'm telling you. I'm telling you, if you say, like if you speak with your mouth that you have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. In other words, our lifestyle affects our fellowship that we have with God. Our lifestyle impacts the kind of relationship that we have with God. Yes, you can be saved to the full and not do anything because you didn't do anything to earn it. God brought you to himself. But if you're going to have an ongoing relationship with Jesus Christ, your lifestyle matters. You cannot live in sin and say you have a strong relationship with God. It doesn't work that way. As a matter of fact, here's what God says. Here's what God says. Listen, because you won't hear this in church. If you say, Jesus and I are good, I lead a Bible study, I'll do all this, but you walk in darkness, here's what Jesus says. You're a liar. You're a liar. You are a flat out liar, right? But I believe Jesus died on the cross. You're a liar. That's what he says. I mean, let's take that one to heart for a minute, because we don't like that feeling. We like to think, I can do whatever I want to do, whenever I want to do it, and God's obligated to take me to heaven because I prayed some prayer at a camp 18 years ago so I can live however I want. Guys, in Christ there is no darkness. You can't walk in the darkness and profess that you're a Christian. It doesn't work that way. So let's get this word walk for a second. You would think it's a pretty easy word. We all know what it is, but if we walk in the darkness, what does it mean to walk? I mean, we watch little children, if we have a family and they learn to walk, what are they doing? They're progressing from point A to point B. A walk is an advancement. A walk is a progression. If you are progressing in darkness, if you are advancing in darkness, if you are growing in your sin, while you say, Jesus and I have a strong relationship, you're a liar. You will not continue to grow in your sin if Jesus Christ is in you. It's an impossibility. How can God of the universe, the God-man Christ, through his Holy Spirit dwell in you and have you continue to advance in sin? It doesn't mean that you won't sin from time to time, but a walk is a advancement. It's a progression in. It's I'm going deeper in this. I'm growing in my sin. You can't grow in your sin and say, I have fellowship with God. You're a liar. That's what he's saying. And that's the error that many of us think. Well, I did what the religious thing told me to do. I prayed this prayer. I walked the aisle. I cried a little bit at the service. I felt God all around me. It's not about feeling God. It's not about doing something. It's about knowing that Christ is in you, the perfect one in whom there is no darkness. And if you say you have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, you lie and don't practice the truth. Well, what's lying? I looked it up. I want to know a clear definition of what lying was, right? Here's what it is. It's a false statement made with a deliberate intent to deceive. That's what lying is. It's a false statement made with a deliberate intent to deceive. It's intentional untruth. It's serving to convey a false impression. It means I'm saying this so that someone else will believe something falsely about me. I'm telling you I love Jesus, but my lifestyle doesn't reflect him at all. So I am a liar. Isn't it interesting? Isn't it interesting that Jesus told the Pharisees that their father was the devil, and what did he call their father? The father of all lies, John 8:44. Liar. You're following your father, the devil. The devil lies and says, don't listen to that pastor, don't listen to him. You can live however you want, it doesn't matter. You can live however you want, it's God's job to love you. No, you're lying. You're lying to yourself. You're deceiving yourself. How you live indicates whether you truly have an ongoing relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what John's going to point out. for all believers everywhere. You can go anywhere in the world, you have a walk with God. That's why Paul encourages us, and there's a lot of places I could have gone, but Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1, what does he encourage the Ephesian church? Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling which you have been called. I mean, advance with Christ, walk with Christ, walk in the light with Christ, right? And here's what he says, if you're not walking with Christ, if you're not walking in the light of Christ, you're a liar and what? You are not practicing the truth. You're not practicing the truth. Now, when I talked to the men on Thursday, I was telling them, truth is not a what, it's a who. Like Pontius Pilate asked Jesus, well, what is truth? It wasn't a what question, it's a who is truth, right? Because Jesus said in John 14, 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. If you're not practicing the truth, it means you're not practicing Christ. You're not walking with Christ. Jesus is not an ongoing part of your life. Why? Because when Jesus Christ came into your life through his Holy Spirit, his desire was to do a work in and through you to glorify himself through you. That's his purpose in coming in. His purpose in saving you was not so that once you became a believer, you would prove how good you were to God and start behaving rightly, and where you sinned, you ask forgiveness, and then behave rightly again and then ask forgiveness. No, God is using you as his temple to get his work done for the world. And if you're his temple, yet advancing in sin, and you're his temple, but in God there is no darkness, you're deceiving yourself. You are lying to yourself. You're a liar. That's what he says. So that's how it is. Then here's the thing, like, what are we called to do? We can respond properly. Notice verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, then what happens? Then we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all our sin. Here's the truth. Notice this. We are called to live in the light of Christ in all areas of our life. We're called to live in the light of Christ in all areas of our life. It means we're called to align every single area of our life with the gospel of Jesus Christ. See, for many of us, after we come to Christ, people start telling us about the biggies. Dude, don't swear anymore. If you're going to drink, that's okay. Just don't get drunk. Hey, you can look at porn a little bit. Just don't look at it a lot and don't touch another woman. I mean, we try to do things to cover up our darkness. Here's what the Bible says. No, when you come to Christ and he's in you, you expose it all. Right? And Jesus said in John chapter 1, when he came to the world, he was the light, that John was testifying to the light that was coming, the true light coming into the world. But the world did not comprehend it. The world did not understand it. The world didn't want it. And many of us don't like the light. There are things in the world that don't like the light. If you don't believe me, go on a camping trip sometime and go into one of those public bathrooms at night and turn on the light and watch cockroaches go scatter, right? They hate the light. Many of us, we don't like the light. We don't like to come to church because we don't want to get exposed for who we really are. And we run from the light, but we say with our mouth, Jesus and I, we're good. We're great. No, Christians embrace the light. Christians run to the light. Christians allow the light of God to penetrate the areas that have been dark so that God can pour his light through them. That's what it means to abide in Christ. That's what it means to walk with God. That's why for many people, you can be as religious as you want. You'll never be challenged for the rest of your life. I mean, let me ask you this question. When was the last time that you wept over your sin? I mean, when was the last time you like literally wept knowing that you broke God's heart over your sin? Was it Wednesday? Tuesday? Was it last month? Maybe last year? Was it like 18 years ago I trusted Christ? I cried in a crusade. I haven't cried since because now I know I'm saved. I mean, when was the last time? Because here's what we're saying. God is light, and in him there is no darkness, and he dwells in you, and he's wanting to do a ministry in and through you, and he's wanting to pour his love out through you, and he's wanting to do everything through you, and you're saying, I think I've always done what he wants me to do. It's a false understanding of the gospel. It's a false understanding of the gospel. The gospel is not God saved you so that he'd take you to heaven. That's a byproduct of what the gospel is. The gospel is that you are dead and God made you alive so that he could use your life to pour his life through you to other people. That's the gospel. The byproduct's that you get to go to heaven. And here's the truth. If you don't want God to pour his life through you now, why in the world would you ever want to go to heaven? Like, what do you think heaven is? Well, I think there's good football there and I get to play again. And I'm wrong. Heaven is a place to be in fellowship with God forever and ever. If you don't want him here, why would you want to go there? Right? That's the gospel. And here's what he says. He says, but if we walk in the light, what do we have? We have fellowship with one another. Who's the one another? Who do we have fellowship with? Who do we have fellowship with? We have fellowship with one another. We have fellowship with God.
If I'm walking in the light, we have fellowship with God. We have an authentic partnership with God. We have a relationship with God. I hear God. I know God. I experience God. I love God. That's what it means to abide in Christ. That's what it means to have fellowship. And if I have fellowship with God, who also have fellowship? I have fellowship with everybody else who knows the same God that I do, this walking in the light. We have fellowship with one another. And what does he say? And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Comes from the word catharzo. It means to completely cleanse. It means to completely wash. It means you're not stained a little bit anymore. It means you don't have little bits of fragments of sin. It means you are washed, washed. It means you are cleansed, cleansed. It's more than tied clean. I mean, it is Jesus Christ through his redeeming blood washing you so that you are perfected in his sight. That's what it means to abide in Christ. And guess who does all the cleansing? He does. He does. John 8:31 says, and 8:32 says, if you continue in my word, then you are truly my disciples, and then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. That's the order of how you grow. How do we grow? We continue in God's word. We align our life with God's word. What is the word? The word is the written word of God that reveals the person of God, the God-man Jesus Christ. And if I continue in that and have fellowship with that, then I will know what? I'll know the truth. I'll know who? I'll know Jesus. We'll be intimately acquainted. The more I walk in the word, the more I align myself with the word, the more intimately acquainted I am with Jesus Christ. And the more intimately acquainted I am with Jesus Christ, then what? It's the truth. Who's the truth? Jesus Christ. What's he do? Jesus Christ sets me free. Jesus Christ sets me free. Do you know that in our world, we always want to work backwards? I struggle with anger. I'm going to work on it. I'm going to pray about it. I'm going to work on it. I'm going to pray about it. I'm going to work on it. How well does that work for you? How long have you been working on that? You know what? I got this drug addiction. I'm gonna work on it. You know, I'm kind of addicted to the internet and pornography. I'm going to work on it. How long are you going to work on it? You can't work backwards. God didn't need you to work on it. Jesus Christ did not die on the cross for all your sins to redeem you, so then for the rest of your life you'd work on it. Jesus Christ died for you because you couldn't do anything for him and says, if you abide in my word, you will know me and I'll be the one who sets you free. That's what fellowship looks like. So why aren't more Christians set free? Because most Christians don't believe it's about God doing a work through them. Most Christians believe it's about them doing a work for God. Can I just go on record saying God doesn't need me or you? He doesn't need my help. In the areas of my sin, he doesn't need my partnership. What does he need? My full surrender to him. He needs me to abide in him. He needs me to align my life with his word. He needs me to get to know him. And then at his time, either immediately or over a period of time, he'll set me free. It's his promise. He'll do it. And then when he does, guess what I'll tell other people? I didn't do it. It wasn't me. It was Christ in me. Jesus did the work. Amen? Like, that's the truth of the gospel. I mean, it's not only great news that God's willing to redeem us and set us free so we can spend all eternity with him. It's great news that even as a sinner in this world, that if I abide in Christ, I can still walk in the light and have an authentic partnership with him now, even before I'm totally redeemed and set free. That in the present, I can enjoy God like I will enjoy him later. And yet, what does the devil do? The father of all lies tells you what? Take notes, work on it, work on it, work on it, work on it. Work on it. You're getting better. Oh, this week was bad. But work on it. Work on it. You know how many Christians are sick and tired of working on it? Everyone. You weren't designed to work on it. You were designed to get to know Christ and be obedient to his word and be faithful to what he shows you so that you can be intimately acquainted with the one who loves you, and then in his timing he'll set you free. That's the gospel. That's what John's saying. He says the error is we don't believe that our lifestyle matters. And so when we struggle over and over, we say, it's not a big deal. God will forgive me anyway. No big deal. God will forgive me anyway. No big deal. It's just sin. No big deal. Jesus said, it's a huge deal because in me there is no darkness. And if you say you're walking with me but you're living in darkness, you're lying. You're a total liar. You're just speaking so that other people will think that you have something that you truly do not, right? But if you walk in the light as he is in the light, guess what? Then in the areas of your life, Christ shows up and sets you free. I love the verse, Psalm 119, verse 105. You all know it. Psalm 119, verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You ever think about that? If Jesus is the light of the world, what's he lighting? He's lighting what? The next step. That's all he lights. I mean, I wish Jesus gave us like a runway. I wish Jesus lit up like a highway. I wish Jesus showed us all the turns. He never does. He gives you this much light and says, step there. And you know what most of us do?
Here's what we say. How come I have to step there? How come she doesn't have to step there? How come you're calling me that direction? I've never seen anybody else have to go that direction. But what does he do? He gives us enough light to take the step, and then we take the light with us, and then we're here, and now we know what step to take. That's why nobody's life looks like this. Everybody's life looks like this, right? To walk in the light does not mean you walk like everybody else. It doesn't mean you go like everybody else. In general, we're all going towards Christ. In general, we're all believing by faith in Christ and being obedient to him, but our path is going to look entirely different. Why? Because God's giving light for where I'm stepping. God's giving you light for where you're stepping. And if we see where God's taking us, many times we know what God's calling us to do, but guess what we do? I don't want to step there. Never seen anybody else step there. I know I'll be really spiritual about it. I'm going to get my small group together. We'll pray about where I need to step. And then we'll just pray about the light and where it's at. Where God's just sitting there like this. For some of you, it's been days, months, even years, and God's still holding the light right here. And you still refuse to step. But I'm married now, I couldn't do that, but now I got a job, now I got a career. God's like, I ain't changing the light. You can step whenever you're ready. I mean, that's the light, that's walking in the light. And the reason that you don't have an ongoing relationship with Jesus is because you're not walking in the light, walk in the light. Now for some of you say, well, I know I'm a Christian, but I kind of stepped away from the light. The sooner you get back into it, the better. Can I just tell you that? Well, I've already gone this far, so we're dating. I went this far. Might as well go all the way. I've already started cheating a little bit at work. You know, we got to get this business deal done. I'm not going to expose it now. I'll start being truthful later. I mean, the sooner you get back into the light, the better it's going to be for you. Because God always responds to your obedience. He always responds to your obedience. Many of us, what do? Well, you know, when it gets really, 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 really bad, then I'll call out to him. Maybe you will, maybe you won't. But if you wait until you hit rock bottom, I'm just telling you, there's a lot of pain to walk back through. The sooner you get back into the light and the more that you remain in the light, the better quality of life you're going to have with God. That's what he's encouraging us to do this morning. The error is, don't believe any of this stuff. Just live however you want. God loves you no matter what. The truth is, if you walk in the light as Christ is in the light, in all areas of your life, not just the few that you think others are looking at, you'll be able to experience God to the full. Now, here's another way to respond to the light of God in air. Really, verses 8 and 10 highlight another air. Notice what verse 8 says. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. So we're saying we have no sin now. And how about verse 10? If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Here's the air. Listen up, Christians. We falsely believe that sin is not a problem with us. We falsely believe that sin is not a problem with us. If we say we have no sin, we're deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. That's for non-Christians, Pastor. Come on. I mean, those sinners out there, you know them. You've met them. You've seen them. There are all those sinners out there. We used to be one of them. We're not anymore. If you say you have no sin, you're deceiving yourself. I mean, I wish I could tell you 30 years ago when I gave my life to Christ, all my sin went away. That it just was magically eradicated. And since 1989, I hadn't sinned. I mean, I wish I could tell you that. I don't know what you're talking about. I've never sinned. I'm a Christian. I've been a Christian for 30 years. Nobody's laughing. I've sinned. Sin still creeps up in me. It's like the Apostle Paul says in Romans 7, for I do not understand what I'm doing. For the good I want to do, I do not do. But what I don't want to do, I'll do. Like, who's going to rescue me from that? But I've learned this law that if it's going on in my life, it's no longer I who do it, but sin that lives in me. Like, do you see that? It's Christians, when was the last time you confessed your sin? See, here's what we don't believe. We don't believe sin's that big of a problem for us anymore, right? Sin is your biggest problem, whether you're a Christian or a non-Christian. If you're a non-Christian, it's your biggest problem because you don't have a relationship with God, because God needs to forgive you. But if you are a Christian, here's the deal. You still can't see it, you can't touch it, you can't rid it, and it kills. And the only cure from sin is the blood of Jesus Christ. It's still your number one problem. Nope, Pastor, that was my number one problem before I got saved. Now my number one problem is my marriage. Nope, sin is the problem in your marriage. If you didn't have sin, you wouldn't have a marriage problem. Did you hear what I said? You got two non-sinners in a marriage, you don't have a marriage problem. It's a spiritual problem, right? No, Pastor, you don't understand. Before I was saved, I was a sinner. But now that I'm saved, I have my biggest problem, my finances. Nope. That's a spiritual problem too.
You have sin in the way in which you've handled it. Either you have a lack of contentment for what God's given you, or you're greedy, or you spent more than you have because you have a sin problem that you haven't dealt with yet. Right? I mean, every single problem that you have is rooted in a sin condition. It's still your number one problem. And if you say you have no sin, guess what you do? You're deceiving yourself. We already said the group of people that say that they're Christian but don't walk it out, they're liars. What's a deceiver? A deceiver is one who misleads by false appearance or statement. You're misleading yourself. You're trying to look and act a certain way so that you can pretend that you're actually Christian when you're not actually walking it out. It's called a hypocrite, and the church is filled with them. Hypocrites are people that cannot admit their need for God's grace in their life at any time. And all the way down to verse 10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make God a liar, and his word is not in us. We make God a liar. Have you ever thought about that? I mean, when we say, oh, I don't really have a problem with sin anymore, or we live in such a way that we're not confessing our sin anymore, here's what we're saying all the time by our actions. God, you're a liar. God, you're a liar. You're a liar. You say I need your forgiveness, you're a total liar. You say I'm in need of you, God, you're a liar. You're a liar, you're a liar, you're a liar. See, because most of us think that when we come to Christ, it's all about us doing good for God. No, Christ came to live in you. It's God doing his work in and through you. That's why the Apostle Paul says, I have been what? Crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives within me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. In other words, if I'm going to live for Christ, here's what I'm going to do. I am surrendering my life in such a way where Jesus Christ can get done in and through me whatever he wants, whenever he wants, whatever he wants for his glory. That means all my life, at all time that I'm breathing, my life is for Christ. So here's the question. Here's the question. Listen, listen, listen. For those of you who say, well, I never sin. We ask the wrong question. We go to the word and we say, how do I feel about this? And how am I doing? Right? Like, yeah. I mean, I wrote down some things just so you know. Because I hear these things all the time. Yeah. You know, I hear you on that one. I struggle a bit with that one. That's a little bit of a struggle. Oh, yeah. I can do that. This one doesn't bother me as much. It doesn't bother me as much. This one, it doesn't affect me. This doesn't. I can do this. That doesn't affect me. Yeah, I mean, probably sin, but everybody sins. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, we all sin once in a while, and it's not that big of a deal. Or this one. Here's the other one. Here's my favorite. This one's not a big deal for me. I can see where other Christians would struggle with that, but this one's not a big deal for me. Now, what pronoun do you hear on all those? Me. Here's how I feel about it. Here's what I think about it. The reason we don't confess our sins is because we're looking in the mirror like, I don't really feel that bad about it. I don't feel that bad. I'm okay with it. I mean, we get in these huge arguments in the church whether you can drink or not drink. And what do? We always tell how we feel about it. Well, the Bible just says don't get drunk. So it's really how I feel about it. You're asking the wrong question, right? Should we celebrate Halloween or should we not? It's all how I feel about it. Asking the wrong question. Here's the question. God, in every area of my life, are you getting the most glory through me minute by minute and moment by moment? If Jesus says no, then it's sin. Then we confess our sin so that Jesus can get done through us at any given time what Jesus wants to get done through us. Because it's not how I feel about it. It's not what bothers me. It's not whether I can handle it. It's how does he handle it? How does he feel about it? Is he able to get done what he wants to get done? Do you see why we don't confess our sin enough? Do you see why we don't think it's a problem? Because we still think that the Christian life is about us. It's not about us. It's not about what I'm doing for God. It's about what God's doing in and through me. So I better be asking the question, God, am I living where you want me to live? Am I doing what you want me to do? Am I loving my spouse the way you want me to love them? I mean, think about marriage for a second, for heaven's sakes. I mean, we nitpick to death each other. How many know, by show of hands, Broomfield, you're included in this, that if you look for faults in your spouse, you might be able to find some? Every woman had their hand up first. I don't know why that is, right? You can find that. And then you can go to counseling and pay somebody $150 an hour to tell them what you found.
and you can keep going forever. And let me tell you what will change. Nothing, except you'll be more poor. Or you can ask this question. God, am I being the spouse that you want me to be? Am I demonstrating Christ to my spouse in such a way that if you had full reign of everything in my body, that I would be honoring my spouse the exact same way that you would be honoring my spouse if you were the one living in and through me? See, that's a better question. Because I promise you, if you ask that question, God may show you some things that need to change in you. Do you see, the reason everybody's quiet this morning, nobody's clapping, is we're all uncomfortable with this. See, we thought the Christian life falsely was about us. The Christian life is about Jesus through us. And so we need to care about how Jesus feels about things through us. See, the error is to think that it's not that big of a deal and sin is not a big thing for me anymore. And every time we live like that, here's what we're saying. God, you're a liar, you're a liar, you're a liar, you're a liar. God, you're a total liar. You sent Jesus, I don't know why you sent him. Like, I can get to God on my own. You're a liar. Or God, you've already saved me, but now it doesn't matter that I need you anymore. Now, here's the truth. If you read through the scriptures, you'll see this. There are two different kinds of forgiveness the Bible talks about. One is judicial or forensic. It's kind of like if you picture in a court of law where God declaring you righteous. Here's when that happens. At the moment you confess Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, it is done. It is paid in full. No one can snatch you out of God's hands. You are his for all eternity, forever and ever. Amen. Even if you sin, you still belong to God. Right? You're his. Make no mistake about that. But guess what? There's this ongoing parental forgiveness that takes place all the time. It's like when Jesus was sitting around the table with his disciples the night he was betrayed and telling them he was going to wash their feet. They're like, you're not touching my feet. Peter says, and Jesus says to him, hey, unless I wash your feet, you have no part of me. In other words, I need to ongoing clean the areas of your life that still continue to get stained and dirty. I mean, there's still areas in your life that need to grow. And here's what I found in my walk with Christ. The more I walk with Christ, the more I realize I'm forgiven, past, present, and future. My past isn't catching up to me. My future is secure, and I live in the presence of God's glory, and I know that. But the more I know that, the more I also realize at the same time that there are areas in my life that God is still pruning me and working on me and asking me to confess things so that he can get more glory in and through me. And I found that the more I walk with him, I don't hear his voice less. I actually hear his voice more. Now, here's what I'm telling you this, guys. Listen. When I was a new Christian in my early 20s, and I would go to Bible studies, and I would see somebody who had been a Christian for like 30 years or whatever, there's some times where the people that had been Christians longer would talk like this. I would share my heart, but authentically God was, oh yeah, I used to struggle with that when I was you. I used to have that. I'm like, well, when did that stop? Well, when you mature, then you don't have those things anymore. And I used to be like, oh, okay, I can't wait till I mature. Here's what I learned. They weren't mature. They weren't abiding in Christ. If I had known the word the way I know it now, as a 24-year-old, if I would have had the guts to say it, I'm like, oh, I didn't know. You're a liar. But I probably wouldn't have said that at 24. I probably wouldn't say that now either. But the point is, we need to be real comfortable as a church that we can understand that all of our sin, past, present, and future, is completely forgiven. And yet, since it is, and since Christ is in us, and he's perfectly holy, righteous, and true, and he's light, and in him there is no darkness at all, if there's no darkness and he's dwelling in us, that means in the areas of our life that still remain dark, he starts shining flashlights on them and beacons on them and showing us areas where I'm not in there yet. And God is so patient that he takes us through this process called sanctification. Because if when God saved you, he showed you all your stuff at once, you would never stop weeping. You would never stop. God in his grace has to build us and show us he loves us. And then he shows us some other areas we can grow in. And shows us some other areas we can grow in. And shows us some other areas we can grow in. And here's how we respond then. Here's the truth. Ready? I mean, this is the beauty of the whole passage. The beauty is this. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. See, here's the truth. We are called to confess and forsake our sins. You say, well, where's the word forsake in there? Forsake means walk in the light. To confess means literally to say the same thing as. It's two Greek words, homo legeo, the same words. It means we speak the same thing as. We say the same thing as who? As what God says. That's why the question we're asking is not this. The question we're not asking is, okay, where did I sin a little bit this week? Where did I go wrong? What do I need to do better? No, that's not the question. The question is, God, you're perfect. I realize in light of your perfectness, I'm not. You're trying to get a work done in and through me on this planet. Lord, in this season of my life, is there any relationship, is there any way with any person that I have not acted in the exact same manner, tone, and voice of which you would have me to act? Now, he'll speak it to you. He'll speak it to you. And then what do? We say the same thing as. Not, yeah, you're right. I do struggle a little bit with that, with my anger. No. Lord, I confess to you that I lose my temper. Show me why. Well, Jeff, it's because you are a control freak and you want everything to go your way and you expect everybody to serve you because you're super prideful. Yeah, I struggle with that, I guess. That's not confession. Confession would be if that's what God shows you, then you confess, Lord, I confess to you I've been prideful and I've been controlling and I've wanted people to serve me rather than my heart serving you, and I can't change me. So Lord, you change me because I don't want to be that anymore. I want you to live your life in and through me to the full. That's a different prayer. Or Lord, I'll never look at porn again. I know it's wrong. Hey Lord, show me why it's wrong. Okay, because you've created all people in your image, and for me to lust after someone that's not my spouse is going against you. And it, like when David said he sinned, what did he say? He didn't say against Bathsheba and only Bathsheba have I sinned. What did he say? Lord, against you and only you have I sinned and done what's wicked in your sight, because I took somebody that was your daughter that you loved, that you cared for, and I treated her selfishly for my own needs. And Lord, I confess to you that I'm an adulterer, and I confess to you I was wrong, and I need you to change me. See the difference? See, the reason we don't confess is because we don't want to call it what God calls it. We want to call it a little bit of a struggle. We want to call it something that we're working on. You can call it a little bit of a struggle and something that you're working on for the rest of your life. Or you can get before the Lord Jesus Christ and say, hey, Lord, what do you say about me? And here's what you'll hear all at the same time. This is the way I usually hear it. And God's Holy Spirit has a way of doing this beautifully. I'll hear how much he loves me. I'll sense his great love for me. I'll know he hasn't left me. I'll know he hasn't forsaken me. I'll know that I belong to him. And then he begins to pour out in me ways in which I have not reflected his grace. In ways that I have not reflected his goodness. And to the extent that I can confess that is to the extent that I see healing in my life. I'm not the same person I was 20 years ago. But I know I'm not the same person, not because I worked on it. Tried that for a period of years. It doesn't work. I know I'm not the same person because of the grace of Christ in my life and the areas where he's shown me and I've confessed, right? If we confess our sin, he's what? He's faithful and he's just. He's faithful and he's righteous to what? Not only forgive our sins, not only wash them away, but to what? Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Why? Because in him there's no darkness. So what does he have to cleanse us from? Everything. Because he's got to pour himself in and through us. See, God didn't save you just so you go to church and get in a small group and do good things and give your money so that people would say you're a really nice guy or you're a really nice gal. God saved you because he had a plan from you for all eternity past for you to be his workmanship, for him to get his glory done in and through you. And you're the only person that God can do to pour that through. And he's asking, will you continue to seek me and allow me to pour my life through you? And if you say yes, there's going to be ongoing times where God says, yeah, but in this way and in this relationship and in this thing, I'm not being able to get my work done the way I want. And here's the problem with us. We have an agenda. I want to pick where I live. I want to pick who I marry. I want to pick how many kids I get to have. I want to get to pick where they go to school. I want to get to pick how we live. I want to get to pick the house I live in. I want to get to pick how much money I make. I want to get to pick how to spend my money. I. And if you can shift that to, Jesus, I want what you want. Because I know sooner, very soon, I'm going to see you face to face. And I want to know that all my money, my time, my relationships all looked towards you. And the things I was doing was for you. If you want to be great in the kingdom, what does Jesus say? Be small. Be the servant. Be the one that he can use. Who are the people Jesus can't work through? Prideful people that think it's about them. And many people that come to church think it's about them.
And what am I getting today? And what's Pastor Jeff going to talk about? And I hope they're playing my worship songs and hope I like everybody in my small group or I'm going to some other church. And then you can go to some other church and ask yourself the same questions. Or at some point in time, you can stop and you can say, God, what do you want for my life? And if you are living the fullness of who you were in and through me, is there any way I'm hindering that fullness? And if there is, what do? We confess. We say the same thing as, right? We live for God. So I want to end our service on both campuses in a little different way than how I normally end service, right? Because this is not the kind of message that you would want to walk out the door and be like, Pastor, thanks. I needed that, right? Yeah, this is the kind of message where I believe the Holy Spirit's speaking to your heart. For some of you, there have been things God's been showing you or telling you for seasons. For some, it's been this week. For some, it was last week where God's telling you, hey, listen, I'm asking you to get this thing right. So we're just going to take a moment on both campuses, and we're just going to bow our heads. This can be done individually, probably better if it is. If you want to pray with your spouse, you can do that. But I think it can be a time where we're just going to take a couple minutes and just go before the Lord and ask His Holy Spirit, Lord, is there anything in my life that's hindering you, Jesus, from being the fullness of what you want to be in and through me? And then when He shows us, because for several of us, He's going to show us, we're just going to confess those things with our mouth right before the Lord. You can whisper them. You can say them out loud. You can do whatever. Say, Lord, that's me. And right now, I'm just going to confess. And you know that when you confess, it's the blood of Jesus that wants to purify you from all unrighteousness. And then we're going to sing. We're going to sing a couple songs. We're going to sing about God's holiness. We're going to sing about the fact He's been here from before time until the end of time. And we're going to glorify Him because He loves us so much. He's giving us this moment right here in this space to make ourselves rightly related to Him so that He can do a work in and through us. It's powerful what He's going to do. So let's take this time seriously. If everybody on both campuses, just bow your heads, close your eyes. Let's just listen to the Lord here this morning. So Lord Jesus, we just invite you, as you've been speaking through your living and active word, Lord, you've been talking to several of us here. You've been showing us things in our own hearts where we have not reflected your light. As the Holy Spirit begins to show you what they are, would you just confess those things to Him? Lord, that's me. I need your help. For some of you here this morning, it's your finances. There's no doubt about it. You say, I'm always broke, I never have enough, God, you never provide, but God's showing you this morning that He always supplies all of your needs according to His glorious riches. Perhaps He's telling you you're greedy. Perhaps He's telling you you're not content. Perhaps He's telling you you don't trust me in this, I got this. Would you just confess that to Him? For some of you, struggled with a sin problem for a long time. For some of you, it's anger. I mean, you can picture where you are right now when you blow up. For some of you, it's drugs. You picture right now where you say it's the last hit I'm ever going to take, but you take it again. For some of you, it's a sex addiction. You say it's the last time I'm ever going to. For some of you, you said this is the last time ever, and you're trying to tell yourself that right now. Quit making promises to God that you can't keep. And Lord, speak to my brothers and sisters about what is causing that. And let us confess that sin. For some of you, as you're praying, you know God's called you to do certain things. For some of you, it's forgiveness to somebody you don't want to forgive. For some of you, He's been calling you into ministry, but you'll say, hey, I'll get to that later. For some of you, He's been calling you to restore your marriage, but you're like, hey, when they're ready to do it, I'll do my part. Lord, speak to my brothers and sisters here in this place. For some of you that are here today, you've kind of pedaled off God's path. You said, yeah, I love the Lord, but I'm going to go my own way for a while. You know the area you're going your own way. I mean, maybe 90% of your life seems to be aligned, but there's 10% over here that you wouldn't want exposed. God, expose it by your light and let my brothers and sisters just confess that. Lord, this is a powerful time in the history of our church because your word tells us that when we confess our sins, you're faithful and righteous to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And Lord, there's nothing like knowing that we stand completely redeemed, completely loved, completely forgiven in the joy of the relationship we have with you. Lord, we confess to you now, none of the things that we're confessing, we're going to go out of here and try to work on. We're confessing to you now that in those moments, we need to be reminded of the fact that you're Lord over that, and we want to live for you in that area, and we want to honor you. And Lord, we want to keep calling on you and walk in your word and know you. And Lord, we're trusting you to set us free. Father, we give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor. Lord, we thank you for your great forgiveness. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.